Who is your model of faith? Is there someone in your life that has modeled faith for you? In the second reading today, the letter to the Hebrews, we are given models of faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah. And yet those models of faith are somewhat remote. They're very distant from us, both in time and in place. Are there more at hand models of faith? Some may think of people like John Paul II, Mother Teresa. But I suspect most of us have models of faith that are much closer. Possibly a parent or a grandparent. Maybe an uncle or an aunt or a teacher. Maybe a priest that you have known. But someone who has lived their faith and has become for you a model of faith. I would suspect that no matter who that model of faith may be for you, there is one trait that is important in their lives. And that is the trait that was spoken about in the second reading. How Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob were longing for a homeland. Not the one from which they had come, but one that would last forever. Aren't people who are models of faith, people who long for the day that they will be gathered into the kingdom of their God? Aren't they people that know that nothing here will fully satisfy, will fully fulfill, and they long to be in the presence of God? They long to share that life that will last forever. People of faith long for the fulfillment of the promises that God has made. That concept of longing, eagerly awaiting the fulfillment of God's promises, was hinted at in the first reading. It is brought out much more clearly in the gospel reading. Jesus speaks in that gospel reading about preparedness. Being ready. Being ready for the day of the Master's return. And we are only prepared and ready if we are also eagerly anticipating. I find it interesting that Jesus, in many different ways, talks about the importance of being prepared, of eagerly waiting and longing. I suspect he did that because he knew how easily you and I can be distracted. He knew how easily we can get our focus on things that lead us astray. And so Jesus constantly, it seems, wants to point out to us that we must be longing for the kingdom of heaven. We must keep that longing alive in our hearts so that we live in preparedness, in readiness. So often, the things that distract us and turn our thoughts away from the kingdom of heaven are not evil things. Much more likely, they are good things, but they are not the best things. If you remember last week's gospel, it was a story about the man who had this great harvest, and he says to himself, "What should I do? I don't have any place to put it." So he tears down his barns and his granaries, and he builds bigger ones. It wasn't bad to have a good harvest. That was a good thing. And yet, he got lost in it. He put his hope and his security in it. And that's what happens to us so easily. We don't choose the evil, but we get lost in that which in itself is very good. But we don't pick the higher good. That's why in last week's reading, it talked to us about valuing the things that are really important, that really matter. Again today, do we value the things that are really important? Do we long for the day that we will be gathered into the kingdom of our God? Do we set our eyes on that goal? And do we try to let everything else in our lives be secondary to that one thing, that we will be gathered into the kingdom of our God? Jesus invites us to this. He invites us to set our hearts, to focus our eyes, our thoughts, our minds on the good things that wait for us when we are gathered into the kingdom of our God.